How old were you when you finished school?
About 15.
And what did you do with yourself then?
Then I started to become a music teacher.
Right. Now, you, when did you first start learning? It was the piano, I think you told me earlier.
That's right.
And who was your teacher?
Miss Kavanagh.
And whereabouts did you take lessons?
At her home in 4 Rundle Street.
Right. And did you obviously enjoyed the piano?
Yes, I did. To say this, I wanted to learn, and this music teacher, this dancing teacher over the road, introduced me to my music teacher. Introduced my mother to the music teacher.
So, what sort of music did you grow to like over the years?
I don't know. I just loved everything. But she did try to teach me a lot of Italian pieces, Italian opera pieces. And I remember a piece of a Traviata, you know, the drinking song.
Yes. And so did you become an opera fan over the years?
Sort of, yes. Yes, I did.
Did you ever sing, or did you just play the piano?
No.
And did you ever play in any bands and the like?
No, I didn't.
And I have here...
What have you got here, John?
...something that's about the music theory results.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So what was the result of all of that?
Well, I don't have the results of that, but I did all my theory exams, all of them, right up to the end. I could have gone to university after that, and I did all my music exams. Actually, I've still got my certificates there. I can't see it. What's it say there?
It says your name.
What's it say? Oh, my name.
Your name's recorded, okay. Having... So once you completed those exams, you then became a music teacher.
Yes. Unfortunately, I was offered jobs at 2 places, but I didn't take them because I didn't have enough confidence.
Is that right?
Yes, right.
Oh. So what did you... But you taught music.
Yes.
And who did you teach your music to?
Oh, just varied, not very much, because I had the children, didn't teach very much. But, yes, I taught when I was in Suffolk Street. I had the children then. I had about 3 or 4.
Right.
I had more. I was a bit silly. I should have worked more. My mother was very sick, and I, being Italian culture, she expected me to look after her, so I did most of my looking after my mother.
Now, just going back to your parents, what was your father doing in those years?
First he was fishing, and then for many years he worked at the Fremantle Cup in Bannister Street. And then the war broke out, and then that was closed up. And during the war, he wasn't interned. He worked at the wharf on the pilot boats because he was a good fisherman. I think he was in the Merchant Marine before. He must have been because we've got photographs of him. And he was a very, very good navigator. Anyway, he worked in the Merchant Marine for when he was in Italy, but he worked on the pilot boats for a little while during the war.
You mentioned internment, and you said he wasn't interned.
He wasn't interned.
Did you know people or have family members who were interned?
Yes, quite a few.
And were they all men who were interned?
Yes, mostly. A few women were interned. Mrs. Travia was interned.
And why was she interned?
Oh, they thought that she was holding meetings at her place.
Oh, really?
Actually, they thought that my husband was doing the same thing. That's what they...
And if you were in a... Did any of your family have to register at that stage? Or did they have Australian citizenship? How did it work?
Yes, my father had Australian... And he has... Oh, I have his registration papers, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
So was it...
My mother's as well.
Yes. So what happened to the people who were interned? Where did they go?
Well, as I say, my father wasn't interned, so I don't know much about it, but I think they were taken to... not to Harvey, I've taken... My husband was in Catherine.
Whereabouts is that? In the Northern Territory?
Yes, that's right.
Is that right?
Yes. Then they were taken to Harvey, so they moved around quite a bit.
Yes.
But my father wasn't interned, so I really don't know, can't remember much about that.
But other people were. Yes. And there must have been people informing about other people if they put that lady in because she was holding meetings.
I don't know. It could be. As I say, at that time I was only a child. I was only 14 or 15 at the time, so I didn't know much about her.
Yes.
But I do remember the Americans coming into Fremantle. Fremantle was overrun by Americans. And it's actually that lady's daughter married an American.
Right.
Let me think. Yes, then my father worked quite a few places. That was when we did... I didn't really ever have enough money in the house ever, because my father was always working. And I don't know how he managed, but he did work at the wharf and he did work at the abattoirs as yes. well.
Yeah.
So he always seemed to find work.
That was during the war?
During the war.
Yes. Was it difficult during the war?
This was the time, yes. It was a bit short of money then. Mm. And I remember they had some money then in the bank, and my father said, so that's what money's for, saved up, we use it now.
Yes.
But we were in a rented house, we were paying £4.
You were still in Norfolk Street?
No, in Suffolk Street.
You'd moved to Suffolk Street?
Yes,
right.
£4 a week.
Right.
And then the houses come up for sale. That time my husband has come out from Italy, and we got married, and he bought the two houses.
Right.
The ones we were both living in.
Well, when...
Not one. My father bought his own house. So my father, sorry to interrupt you, because
no,
I
go ahead.
Remember, he went fishing afterwards, because that's where we were short of money. And my mother said to him, well, why don't you go back to fishing? Because they're giving a high price in crayfish. Mm-hmm. So he had a nephew, my mother's nephew, and they got together and they bought a small boat. It was called an Advance. And so he went crayfishing, and then I made a bit of money and I bought the house straight away.
Right.
Only £365.
So £365, and whereabouts was the house?
In 22 Suffolk Street.
22 Suffolk Street. And who bought that house?
My mother and father bought the house, and then when my husband came out from Italy, we got married, he bought the house next door.
The house next door. And what year did your husband come out from Italy?
Your pardon?
What year did your husband come out from Italy?
1940. I should know that.
You got married in 47, I think.
39.
So
14th of February, 1939.
Right.
That was my bank password.
So when did you first meet him, your husband?
Well, as I say, I didn't go out much, but my brother was a tailor, so he started working with my husband, but he left then. He went fishing as well. And at that time, my cousin came out, Sir Dotty, and they're very good friends with my husband. So, because my cousin was coming to my place, and he was coming to my place, and I met him. I was only 14 at the
right.
time.
And how old was he? How much older
24.
Than you? 24. Right. And what was his occupation?
Oh, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't even aware. I tell you, I thought the other day, I thought, how naive of me. Yes, I wasn't even aware.
So what was his occupation?
Tailor.
And he'd been a tailor in
yes,
Sicily?
Yes, a very good tailor. Had very good customers here.
Yes. Yes.
He did very well.
And he was a tailor for many, many years.
Beg pardon?
He was a tailor for many years.
Yes, for many years.
Yes. So you got married in 1947.
That's right.
Okay. And where did you first live? In the house that your husband bought?
Well, that was after the war, and the house was very hard. So at that stage, my husband had bought the house next door, and it was rented, and we couldn't live in there. We couldn't get the people,
right.
the people out, because it was difficult with those
yes.
days. So we lived over the road in a couple of rooms, and gradually the people that lived in the house next door to my mother, they gradually left the house. But it was quite a battle to get people out of the
yes.
houses.
Yes.
Because there weren't many houses around to rent or to buy at that stage.
Mm. Now, you were talking about language earlier, and I take it from what you were saying that everyone spoke Italian or Sicilian, that they brought
That's
with
right.
them from Sicily. And presumably there were lots of other people from Capo d'Orlando around about Fremantle.
Yes, there were.
Sicilian was spoken widely.
This one lady, she used to live a couple of streets, a couple of houses down from us.
Yes.
And next door to her was my mother's cousin.
Yes.
She was a Pensabini, met Pensabini.
Yes.
And she was my mother's cousin, and then my mother was in her house there. So
this is Nunziata Janello.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know whether she owned the house or she's rented. And there was a big block there, and then there was Mrs. Pensabini's house, and there was our house.
Right.
So the three of them sort of always got together because they couldn't speak English.
Yes.
And this lady was very dominant.
Was she?
Yes.
How was she dominant?
Well, she sort of knew how to speak, you know. She stuck up for herself, and I don't think she'd force herself, but she had a way of making herself understood.
You mentioned the Italian club earlier that was up on, was it on Bannister or Pakenham?
Bannister Street.
Bannister. And had that been there all through your life, or was it built at a certain time?
No, that was there when I was a child, but it's been still there, the club. But it's not, of course, it's not Italian club because it closed down after the war.
Right.
But that is not also the Italian club that was in Fremantle. There was another Italian club which everybody used to go. We weren't very sociable, unfortunately, but I remember going to a ball and my mother dressed me up in the Italian flag. And I won, of course, being an Italian flag. And I remember this chap coming in on his shoulder and I won a prize. But that was a different place where I don't remember where that was. That was in Fremantle somewhere. It wasn't very far from where we live.
Yes.
It might have been in High Street somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Yes. Now, I'm interested in you presumably learnt Sicilian because you were at your mother and father's knee growing up and you learnt from them. And then you married husband. Did you speak the same Sicilian? Were there different dialects?
Yes, we did.
No? You all spoke the same because everyone was from Capitolano?
Very few words were different, very few.
Yes.
You do dialects vary quite a lot.
Yes. And then what about your children? Did they learn the language from you as well?
My John could speak Sicilian, couldn't speak English when he went to school. And I was quite embarrassed about that.
Because everybody roundabout spoke Sicilian.
He grew up with his grandmother.
Yes.
And I took him to a kindergarten. And I remember this lady living next door to me. She says, "Your child can't speak English. What if he goes to hospital?"
Well, there'd be plenty of Sicilians there to translate
so
for
anyway,
him.
I used to walk him. I didn't have a car. I used to walk him to Hazelholm Kindergarten, which is in Grey Street.
In Grey Street.
Yes.
Right.
And I remember John... when I went to pick him up, he was in a special room and the teacher was teaching him cow. This is a cow. I don't know if you remember, John. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
No, you don't, do you? You're so young. And he was John with me and we'd talk all the way and I was talking away to him as if he was an old man.
Now, I said to you earlier, asked you earlier about what are the first things you remembered about growing up in Fremantle. Remember the mulberry tree.
Yes.
As you got older, what did you do for fun? Did you got out of the centre of Fremantle? Did you?
Nothing.
What about going to the beach? Did you go to the beach in those days?
I wasn't allowed to go swimming.
Yeah.
you can't believe this, can you?
You weren't allowed to go swimming?
No, we weren't allowed. My mum had been very old Sicilian. And down Suffolk Street, it's not what it was now. It was rocks.
Tell me about what it was like. At the bottom of Suffolk Street, what did you find? Rocks.
Now, yes, you know where the Italian club is now?
Yes.
There, that was all rocks down there.
And you went across the rocks to the water, did you?
Yes, that's
and there was a beach
there
was along
a
there?
Train railway road.
The railway was there?
Yes, railway was there.
Could you get through to the water there?
Yes, you could get through. You'd have to get over the rocks to go into the water.
Yes.
And then they drenched it all and dried it all up.
Yes.
Reclaimed the land.
And what about the jetty or the fishermen's area at that stage down there? Where did the boats?
It wasn't where it is right now.
Where were the boats in those days, the fishing boats?
There was a little jetty and the boats, there weren't very, very big boats at the time because there wasn't this industry with crayfish.
No.
It started after the war. There was only small boats and they gave up because the people did catch crayfish. And my father, someone he tried when he was earlier, they had thrown back into the water. They couldn't sell them.
Right.
It's after the war that the industry became...
The crayfish became of interest to people.
Started exporting them to Japan and other parts of the world.
Yes. Well, tell me, when you were growing up and you were at school and you became interested in music and you were taking music lessons, what was the typical food that you would have? What sort of food? What was typically on the menu at home?
Some fish and we did have a lot of meat, actually.
Yeah. I mean, these days people think of Fremantle and they think of fish, as you say, crayfish.
Yes, and we did have quite a lot of... there was a butcher in Fremantle. Actually, we had too much meat, I think, when I think about it. Yes, but we did have fish, pasta and vegetables.
Now, one thing I'm interested to know about, in the early days in Australia through the 20th century, we had what was called the White Australia policy. So people came from Europe and, you know, northern, central, southern Europe, UK and different parts of the world. But they didn't let many black people into the country in those days or Chinese people.
No, they didn't.
Did you have any recollection of what the the social mix was in Fremantle?
It was very nice.
Wasn't it?
I was a Dago.
Is that what did yes, that expression was used?
Yeah, that's what we were called at school, Dagos.
So at school you were called a Dago.
Right, yes.
And who would use that expression?
Kids and children.
Kids who weren't Dagos, presumably.
That's right, Australian children.
So the Australian
child,
kids.
Actually, I met a lady who went to school with me by chance at the supermarket. She's the same age as me. And she came to see me the other day and I said, do you remember? She said to me, do you remember such and such a little girl? I said, of course I do. She was the one who used to call me Dago.
How did you feel about it at the time?
Oh, very insulted.
Yes.
And you feel as if you were an alien, as you didn't belong.
Well, you were born here. A number of them probably
yes,
weren't born here.
Yes, sort of make that difference. It didn't make
any difference to them.
My brother used to come with blood eye quite often.
Did he?
He was always in fights, he'd call it a dagger, and he was...
He'd fight back. And did it change at some point, do you think? Did you think that
yes,
there was a point?
Yes, it changed a bit when I was in high school. I went to St. Joseph, it changed quite a bit.
In what way did it change there?
Well, you sort of assimilated with the Australian girls and there was getting it more education and you're getting to higher classes and the sort of the girls are more educated because they went to a girls' school later at St. Joseph.
Yes. Were you taught by all nuns there?
Nuns.
Yes. Yeah. What nuns were they?
Oh, they're
quite... Were they the St. Joseph nuns?
Yes. They're...
Were they the brown joeys?
Pardon?
Were they the ones who wore the brown habits?
No, they had black.
They had black habits, yes. the other group.
The St. Emily, I think it was, their order. The Setons, they're
right.
The school.
I had some cousins who went to the school later on in the 60s, I guess. Mm. Now, in terms of people who lived, did you ever see Aboriginal people in Fremantle?
Very rarely. I remember the Aboriginal people used to sell lime things to... I don't forget the moment because I just can't think of the word. But there'd be trees that they'd hold up clothesline.
Right.
And I remember coming around the houses and they were selling them. And I remember giving them clothes and I remember they saying to me, no, we're not allowed to take clothes.
Not allowed to take clothes.
But they'd take them anyway, but they weren't allowed to come around the houses because they think they'd be begging. But they used to sell these forks to hold up the lines.
Right.
Clotheslines.
Right. And did you have any sense of where they lived?
No.
No, they just came and knocked on the door.
So coming from the centre of Australia, of course, but you didn't know where they lived in those days. I didn't know where they were coming from.
You weren't aware of people living in houses nearby?
They didn't live around us, for
no,
sure.
No, so they came to do their business, in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And what about Perth itself, the city of Perth up the Swan River? Did you go and visit as a kid with your parents?
No, because the bridge wasn't built until 13th of November, but I can't remember the year.
Which bridge are you talking about there?
The traffic bridge.
The traffic bridge, when that first went in. So you really spent your time around Fremantle?
Much of the time. We'd go to Perth sometimes and catch the bus.
Yes.
And it was a great adventure going to Perth.
And that went up and what, over the
Gibson.
Causeway?
I remember Foreign Gibson being
yes.
there.
Yes,
yes. And there was... Bones.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the street, but Foreign Gibson was St. George's Terrace.
Right.
Opposite where the school is now, school was there, the old technical school.
That's yes.
That's where I did most of my theory exams.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
So you'd go into Perth to study or just to do your exams?
Just to do my exams.
Right. So how many years did you study music in that serious way?
About 8 years.
Yes. And once you got married, did you taught music?
Not very much.
Not a lot.
About 3 or 4 students, and I gave up.
Yes, and you remained living in Suffolk Street at that point. Now, when you think back, I mean, did Fremantle suddenly change at any point?
Yes, it did when the American Cup.
The America's Cup.
Mm.
So what that for you? That was what the biggest. Period of change.
Yes, a bit of period of change because Fremantle, as I say, it's not right as now, it was quite busy in those days because we had quite a few shops. We had Woolworths, we had Coles, and we had Free Corns, and we had Charlie Carter's, and we walked to buy our groceries.
And So the America's Cup came, and that, you know, for me is also a period of big change.
Yes, started to die then, a few matter. Once America's Cup came, it livened up quite a lot.
Yes. So what were the biggest changes that you observed? I mean, was it just more people in the town?
More people, more buildings, and more businesses, of course. There was Miss Maud's was built, and...
It's on the Cappuccino Strip there.
The Cappuccino Strip, that doesn't exist before.
Old Papa's became famous. Old Papa's cafe.
Old Papa's, I knew him very well.
Who was that?
Gormana. Yes, I knew his mother very well, actually. One of his sisters when I got a child, actually.
Right.
Yes. And I forget what I was going to say.
Nunzio.
Beg your pardon?
Nunzio,
yes. But his sister's my goddaughter.
Right. And...
I was going to say, forgotten.
So Fremantle's become famous with the Cappuccino Strip, and that's what people know it for now.
You know, the old shipping, the old fishermen.
Yes.
There weren't any tailors there. There was one tailor, he was Australian, but I forget his name. And it wasn't Bowersville, it might have been Bowersville. And there's tailors of jewellers, and there was Barney Silberts, and there was Easy Walkins. So in those days, it was a lot of shops and they did a lot of business Fremantle, and then they went dead. And then, of course, it was alive for a little while when the America's Cup, and has gone dead again.
Yes. Well, they managed to lose the America's Cup pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yes, they wanted to build the... there's a building there, a Garden City, and the Fremantle's council didn't accept it. So that's why
it
was taken over to Garden City.
Well, did you ever travel south of Fremantle, or even just down to South Fremantle, or down to South Beach?
Just down to South Beach.
And how did you get to South Beach in the early
tram.
So, tram's gone for some time now.
They have gone for a long
time. Yeah. Where else did the trams run in those days?
They ran around across South Terrace and in High Street.
So
right down from the end of High Street. And they go to Beaconsfield, right around the suburbs.
So where would you get onto the tram? You'd walk what down
just
from
up to the corner, past the tram of the
Suffolk
corner,
Suffolk Street, yes, and what, right. South Terrace, and you'd take it down. You'd get off at South Beach, for example.
Yeah, South Beach, or different stops. You'd
ring
the bell.
And off you go. And it kept on going to Beaconsfield.
Right down to South Fremantle, and then that's where it stopped. And then it
stopped
right down to the station, and that's where it stopped.
Right.
And railway station.
And did you ever take it to Beaconsfield as well?
Yes.
And what route did it take to get to Beaconsfield?
I really can't remember. I remember going to Beaconsfield with a tram.
I'm not sure. South Street, perhaps.
It must have been
up there.
Yes, I can't remember.
And what about East Fremantle? Was there a tram that way?
Yes. That's right. The corner of Petra Street. And there was a hall here. Corner Petra Street, where the bank is, next to the bank.
Right.
And I remember that because, as I say, I was learning dancing as well.
Right.
And we had a concert there.
Right.
Dancing concert.
So how old were you at that stage? Yeah,
about 8, 10, 11,
right.
Something like that, yes.
So
I learned dancing as well. I'd forgotten that.
Yes. So the trams, obviously, were pretty important.
Yes,
it was
very
public
important.
Transport.
Oh, yes, very important.
Yeah.
It was the main...
You mentioned the buses, that was to get into later into the city
very
of Perth.
Very few buses. They had parlour cars for a while, and they didn't last very long, and then the buses came
what
in.
What was a parlour car?
Oh, it was sort of a big mini, like a mini bus. There would be two,
right.
Four, about six, three rows in a big in the car, and about three across, three or four.
Right.
Like about 12.
So it was like a small van or something, was it?
Big button.
A bit like a van today.
No, like a big limousine.
Like a big limousine.
It was flash looking. But
yeah. Now, can I just ask you some questions about the port itself, the port of Fremantle. What are your earliest recollections about that? Was it that people worked
down
there?
We're going down there, meeting the people coming from Italy.
Is that right?
Yes, that's what I remember.
And
my aunt came out, and my aunt.
Can you remember the ships they came out on?
Eurontus, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the last ship that came before the war. Before the war. It was Diaz. D-I-Z.
Right.
Because I had been sick for a while, and I remember getting up, and we went to see this ship, and it was the last ship that came into Fremantle. think I was about 12.
Yes.
And so what year would that be? I was born on 25. It'd be 1937.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the last ship to ever come to Fremantle.
Right, so you'd have about 12, yeah. About that sort of age.
And then, the war came in 39.
Yes.
But at that time, 1937, things were starting to rumble, though. I can remember talk about war and talk about Mussolini.
Yes. With someone like Mussolini, was there much talk in the Italian community
here? Yes, there was. Oh, well, I thought this man was, he was the saviour of Italy.
He was the saviour of Italy.
Yes.
Actually,
I had a little black hat.
He did?
I did.
You did. And what was the black hat symbol?
Black silk hat was a tassel.
Right.
Mussolini's hat for Mussolini.
Right.
That's why I say there was another Italian club. There was like the social club.
Yes.
And I remember going to this this party and this ball, and I won the prize because I was dressed up in
the Italian flag.
And that was the years of Mussolini was starting to. I thought everybody was such a great man. It was 1937, I was thinking.
Yes. So, and he was the leader of Italy, and presumably many Italians are very proud of the fact that that was happening.
I remember going to the pictures, we'd call them those days.
Yes.
We'd call them movies, and you see these. Films of Mussolini and the shows, and of course that's all great things that Mussolini was doing there.
Yes.
Getting all the sweet for the country.
Yes. Were the war years difficult for you?
Yes.
And why were they difficult?
Well, we did. I remember the blackout. We had to have all our windows all painted black.
Yes.
And you couldn't go out. It was very frightening. We had the blackout at a certain time of the year. The day, and you put your lights on till the morning, and you thought the Japanese were going to invade us. Yes, it was quite frightening.
Yes.
Yes.
And
luckily, they did get to Geraldton, but it was as close as they got.
Yeah.
My brother was in the army as well, which is quite worrying for us. Actually, he was in the end of the war, in the Bougainville and the Solomon Islands.
Right.
I remember him coming home, he was quite traumatised because he said the Japanese had concubines, and before they got out, they pulled out, they killed all their...
Oh, goodness. So, we touched earlier on the fact that many Italians were interned during
That's
the war.
Right, yes.
Did that make it difficult, being Italian, Australia and others at war against Italy, amongst others?
Well, at that stage, I didn't meet many other... didn't meet Australians.
Right.
Didn't go out, didn't socialise much.
Yes.
Just after the war finished, it didn't socialise much at all, actually. We did before. We used to go to the Italian club. We used to have these balls and go there. But then the war started, and then, of course, I've been about 14.
Yes.
And then the war finished, and I didn't have much of a teenage period.
So after you were married and after the war, did life in Fremantle seem to change? Did it seem to alter in any way?
Yes, it did, very much so. But, you were sort of more accepted.
Yes. And well, you're getting older at that stage as well.
Getting older. And having... some of our boys were, as I say, my brother was in the war.
Yes. So it made a big difference.
Made a big difference.
Yes. And Fremantle is a town to live in then. How did that feel?
Well, some people didn't like Fremantle at all.
Why didn't they like Fremantle?
I thought it was a slum, actually.
And which people thought that?
Well, I don't know, Australian people.
Others thought, looking at Fremantle, that it was a slum.
Yes, that's right.
Well, where did everyone live in those days in Fremantle? You were in Suffolk, and you'd come from Norfolk.
Italian community. I didn't mix much with the Australian community. So, as I say, there was Norfolk Street, Suffolk Street.
Yes.
Rundle Street, Howard Street, Gray Street, all those are all Italians. Basically, after the war, they were moved out to Spearwood or different suburbs.
Yes. And what happened when they did move out? Who moved in? Were they different groups who moved in?
I suppose they'd be all Australians that moved in, I would say so.
Yeah. And what about other groups from Europe? You often hear people talking about the Portuguese in Fremantle.
Yes, there were quite a few Portuguese, but I didn't know any of them. But I remember Cicerella used to live in Rundle Street, I think it was. And Cicerella had a boot shop in the arcade, Apple Arcade. Do you remember that arcade?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Steve Cicerella had a the boot shop in Atwell, where he became famous with the with the fisherman wharf.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Well, when I was just a kid, my parents would bring me down on a hot summer's night to the Esplanade and get our fish and chips from Cicerello's and sit on the Esplanade and eat them.
Right, walk along the rocks here. Right.
My first paid job as a part-time job was selling shoes at Barney Silbert's on the corner of Market Street and High Street.
Do you remember Barney Silbert's?
Yeah, I do, well, yeah. So,
I didn't go out much. My mother was very strict. Very old-fashioned.
But then when you were a young mother, and how many children did you have?
I had three. The only social things we'd have were the weddings. We just got a big social thing.
Yes. And where would the weddings be held?
The RSL Hall, and I can't remember. There was the Yachts Hall. So the, the Yachts Club. Same club in Marine Terrace. And that's about it.
Yes.
And going to church.
And going to church was a pretty
big
important thing.
Yes, going to church and getting midnight mass.
Yes.
New dresses, new shoes, new house, everything.
They do midnight mass at about 9 o'clock in the morning these days, I think.
It's so exciting.
Yes, yeah. And,
you thought it was and you enjoyed it,
Yes.
You bought yourself a new dress and we compared with the other girls and was about it. Very simple life. I didn't have a very...
You mentioned the Italian club earlier. You said there were a couple of Italian clubs.
Yes.
But in the 50s, after John was born and your kids were around, where was the Italian club that you frequented then?
I didn't.
You didn't go to the Italian club?
No, we weren't very social, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Was that something that sort of most Italians did try to do, join the Italian club?
My husband would start work at 7 o'clock in the morning, finish at 10 o'clock at night.
You didn't have time to go out and socialise.
They complained all the time.
Who complained?
Beg your pardon?
Who complained?
I did.
You complained?
Yes.
But he didn't listen to you?
Yes, we didn't go out much. Oh, we used to go to the pictures. I remember going to the Hoyts. I can't imagine how we used to go. They would have the children on a pram. And because we lived in Suffolk Street and it wasn't very far, and we walked to the pictures.
Was it Ray Avenue, the pictures?
Beg your pardon?
The Ray Avenue.
No, there was the Hoyts,
and
there was the Princess.
The Princess, of course, yeah. So tell me about Ray Avenue in those days. If you were just after the war, let's say, just after you got married, if you walked from Suffolk Street down... South Terrace, the school was still there, or when did the hospital get built? And then you got to Ray Avenue. What was in Ray Avenue in those days? Any shops?
There were a few shops. I remember there was a tram shed in the corner of Elmer Street and Ray Avenue. I remember you paid threepence to get onto the tram.
Well, today, if you ask a lot of people about Ray Avenue, they'll tell you that's where Galati's have their vegetable
yes, but when the Galati's
groceries
came,
business.
They
came later?
They weren't there before.
They weren't there before you got married?
No.
So they came at some time after that?
Yes. Actually, one of the Galati's sister got... she was killed during the war. She came up when the bombs were falling and she walked out of the tunnel and I think they shot and she got killed.
And going down the other end of... High Street down towards the Roundhouse. Did you ever find yourself around that part of Fremantle? Did you?
No, there weren't very many shops there at all. Actually, that's where my husband had his first shop down that part of the street.
Oh, did he?
Yes. That's where the Roma is now.
Well, the Roma became a famous restaurant in the.
My husband was next door.
Right.
He had rented the two of them. Then when the Roma came around, he went to the two shops. I remember him saying this to me, that he didn't want the other shop, so the Roma took it over, and he was on one side, the tailor, and the other side was the Roma.
Right.
Just right down the end of High Street.
So I can first remember the Roma from, about the time I was 18 or 19 or 20, but I imagine the Roma had been around for a bit longer than that, so that's the late 60s, early 70s, I think. But when do you think the Roma set up? And what about, people today talk of Fremantle and they talk of coffee and everyone comes down to the Cappuccino Strip.
There wasn't much down.
Was there anything like that? If you, when you
no,
were
no, nothing like that at all.
In the early 50s, when you'd been married, in the early 1950s, and John's a small boy, if you wanted to go out, anyone wanted to go out and have pasta at a restaurant?
We'd go for a walk through Fremantle, or we'd go to the pictures. That would be the only thing we'd do. See, my husband was not home most of the time.
Yes, so you weren't doing that. Yeah. But were there restaurants in Market Street or High Street in those days?
Finazzi's. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's Do you know where the thing is? The coffee strip is now on the corner of Quarry Street.
Yes.
Or further up there, there's all the Italians used to stay when they come out from Italy.
In Quarry Street. Or
no, in Main. What's that Main Street? Market Street.
In Market Street. Yes. Right.
And there was what's his name now? I forget. Lucchese, I think it was. He had a dress shop over the road from Finazzi's. But everybody stayed at Finazzi's when they came over.
Right.
From Italy, because he had this. Even my husband stayed there.
So it was like a lodging house or something,
yes,
was it?
That's right. There's a restaurant right there now. What they call it now? I don't know what they call it now. Where Ms. Maud used to be around there.
Right.
Yes, and there was a big wood yard on the corner of not Collie Street. What's the other street after Collie Street? Not Arundel. I can't remember the name of the street.
In the centre of Fremantle, where you're talking about, you've got this lodging house when people arrived from Italy and got themselves settled. Were there many people living in that very centre of Fremantle, along High Street?
No, there were very few. As I say, there was this, my father's cousin, he had his shop, the barber shop, and most of the people lived towards South Street.
Yes.
That was more the commercial side of Fremantle.
Now, when you were growing up, what did you know about the home country of your parents, Italy and Sicily? Did you learn things from them? Did they tell you stories?
My father used to say, because I didn't know much about it, so that's why he liked Australia, that everybody was equal. But in Italy it was different. There was the Baron.
Yes.
There was the head of the town hall.
Yes.
And he'd ask them for favours. And he said, here, when you come into Australia, everybody was equal. You'd have your milk delivered to your door, and you'd have the baker come to your door and buy you bread. So he said to my mother, I'm not going to live in Italy.
Yes. So it was those sort of considerations that made a difference.
Yes, that he found it was equal here. It wasn't the Lord and the Baron up the street.
So about how old were you when you first visited Sicily and the hometown of your parents?
And it was 18. How many years ago would that be? She's 60 now.
So
you're about married. 50, weren't you? 50?
Well, my youngest was 18 when we definitely first started teaching.
Yeah.
That's when we started going to
the it. Kids were growing up and you then up. So how did you find Sicily when you got there?
Well, when I first went to Sicily, put my foot down there, I thought, thank God my mother came to Australia. It's what was my first thought.
why was that your first
because
thought?
Because it was so small, everybody knew everybody, there wasn't, you go to the post office, you had to stand in a queue, and so and so got there first. Because they owned, he worked at the post office. Oh, he's a big man, he worked at the post office. Or, it was the Baron's son.
So, all the jobs were allocated.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was everything that your father
the
said.
Class difference.
Yes, class differences. Yeah. And if you came from the right class.
Yes, you could serve first, and then otherwise you went to the bank, you have to stand in the queue, and if your brother was working there, call you.
You'd get to the front of the queue if you were from the right part
of
town.
You go to the post office here, you get your turn, and there you would.
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness my mother came to Australia.
And how did the people back in Sicily treat these people who were visiting from Australia? Did they?
Well, they thought we're Americans who had a lot of money.
They thought you had a lot of money.
Yes, and they charge you double whatever. and the relationship.
Nothing's changed.
It's about a big presence for them.
So you were the rich people coming home, and they expected to bring the gifts.
A lot of money.
Yes. So you were never, your husband and yourself never thought that that's a place you'd want to go back and
live there.
I've met some Italians. I can think of people from
they
around.
They didn't realise how hard people had worked here to make money to get there. As I say, my husband would get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and finish up at 10 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Finish up with a heart attack after that.
Yeah. And so you were all pleased that your parents made the decision to come here.
Sure. It was the first thing I said to them as soon as I went to bed. I always remember, I thought, thank God my mother came to Australia.
And what about your own ambitions for your children when they were growing up? What did you hope for them?
To be educated. She was mad about John going to school
and learning English.
Everybody had to be educated on my children.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that seems
it was his main ambition.
That your children got well educated.
Yes, and actually we made our will quite young because he wasn't well, and that was our first thing. We left it. My brother was supposed to be the executive, but he died poor thing before. We did, you know, and the main thing was our children, whatever we left was to be for education.
So it's hard to put time periods on this, but from when you were a sort of a teenager and becoming more aware of what people in your Italian community in Fremantle were doing, and after the war when you were married and you think about what your friends and relatives and people in the Italian community were doing, what were the range of occupations that the men and the women perhaps had there?
There were many fishermen.
There were fishermen?
Mostly fishermen.
Your husband was a tailor. Were there many tailors?
No. It was one tailor, Ranieri.
Right. So that's very few people were doing that. Many were doing fishing?
There weren't. The Italian people that were here didn't have any, educated positions at all. So I think everyone had that ambition that their children
would be. That their children would be. So they were doing fishing or other manual work, working on the port?
Not the children, the father would have been.
The father working at the port?
At the lumpers, and I remember the lumpers would have to stand in line to get it, and they were called out, and my father would come home and he wasn't called and didn't have any. Didn't get a job there.
What years were they? Were that before
that
the war?
That was during, after the war, I think. During the war, after the war. Because I remember that was a pretty tough time for us at the time. But I never went out without anything, because being there's only a small family, as my mother, my brother and I. So
where did they congregate to be called out for a job as a lumper?
I wouldn't know. Down the wharf.
Down at the wharf.
Because I remember my father came down, sometimes he wasn't called out, and come home and says he wasn't called out to do a job.
Yes. And how old do you think you were at that stage?
I'd say about 13, 12.
Yes. So that probably in the middle, late 1930s, probably before the war by the sound of it.
Yes, it's been then
by the time. Yeah. So a lot of the... Did many of the women work, or were they housewives at home
Very
doing
few
all of
worked.
That? Yes.
It was after the war that people... None of the later women worked.
Right. And that's presumably the way it was always. It was. And that was probably the same around the world.
Yes.
Not many of the women in Sicily
especially
would have worked.
Women in Sicily. Excuse me. Stupid phone. Hello? Sorry?
It's Stuart.
Oh, Stuart.
How you going?
Not too bad, thanks. I'm in the middle of an interview here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I just have a couple of chairs in the shed that I want to come and pick up. Is that okay?
Yes, of course it is.
Okay, I'll be there soon.
Okay, I'll see you soon then. Bye. It's your son-in-law.
Yeah, okay.
So, as I say, I'm just talking about the sort of jobs that people had. So many people were engaged in the fishing industry.
Most of them were fishermen.
Yeah.
Because when the boom came with the cray fishermen, they got together and they had a co-op.
Yes.
And that's how they started to get making money.
They started to make money.
And that's when they're starting to export
fish. Yeah.
It's a great thing then. As I say, that's when my mother advised my father to go back to fishing. He had a small boat called the Advance.
Yes.
It was very small. I don't know how big it was, but I don't think it was a very big fish. A big boat. But that's the time when the Italians and all the fishermen became
They started wealthy. Making some money.
Yeah, make some money.
Yeah, yeah. And Fremantle, a city, as you look at it now, particularly all of those streets that you mentioned where the Italians lived, and when they made money they moved out and moved perhaps south and so
yes, they all moved out because, as I say, they all made money and they all spared away and they all built big houses.
They wanted to build big houses mm-hmm. and enjoy some of the wealth and so
yes,
on.
Yes, the Pampers are quite wealthy.
Yeah. And you mentioned the America's Cup. Was there a point at which Fremantle so changed that you ceased to like it? Did it become a different sort of town to live in?
Oh, it did become a different town because I think there were more shops and more entertainment. People would have more clubs, more nightclubs, more than anything else that wasn't before. We didn't have the... Because I never went to them, but I could hear about them.
Yes.
There'd be nightclubs, there'd be different kinds of life, a different kind of lifestyle
yes.
after the Americans came.
Mm. So when you were growing up and when you were a newly married woman, to after the war and into the 1950s, what were the big shops where you'd go shopping in Fremantle?
I just said Charlie Carter's Freecorns.
Yeah.
And there was Ink Pen, he had a... And Freecorns had a section that was... sell materials as well.
Right. And do I remember Palouse, were they?
Yes, Palouse.
They were there.
Palouse was a big
store.
They were
a big store.
Main shop.
Main
yes,
stop.
Yes.
And the town hall had been there for many years.
Yes, and there was Tammy May. He used to have a big jewellery shop.
Right. May's.
May's.
Yeah.
Huge, and everybody used to buy their wedding presents there.
Yes.
They're very wealthy.
So people wouldn't presumably think of going to Foy and Gibson in Perth to do shopping.
No,
they shopped in Fremantle.
All their wedding presents at Chummy May's at May's.
Right, right.
All my wedding presents come from there, and we used to buy wedding presents for everybody else from there.
So they did quite well.
He did quite well. Knew all the talents.
Now, what about sport activities? You know, I grew up knowing all about South Fremantle and East Fremantle playing football.
That's all I know about.
Did you know about that
yeah,
at the time?
My father was a South Fremantle character and my husband was East Fremantle, but I never went to the football.
Right. So did women go to the football
no,
in those days?
No.
It was a thing for the men to do,
it
was it?
For the men. But they'd go now, perhaps... No.
But not then?
Not then.
Yes.
No.
So what did the women do on the afternoons, when Saturday afternoon, when the men went to the football?
They'd make clothes, I suppose, and stay home.
So were you someone who made clothes at home? Were you a...
Yes.
Did you sew?
No, not very well. I just had my dresses made by a dressmaker.
Right, right. And...
You wouldn't buy very many clothes at the shops either, because you'd go to be certain dressmakers you'd go to. Italian dressmakers around.
Now, often you hear people... I used to hear this from my grandmother, who lived in Subiaco, and my grandfather, who she married, was a terrible gambler. Was there? Were you ever aware of people wasting their money gambling
yes,
in those
yes,
days?
Yes, we used to go down to... this is after the war, though. We used to go down to Donnybrook quite a lot.
Donnybrook?
Because my husband knew a few people that were interned with him.
Right.
So we'd go down and visit him, and there was a relations of this chap that we knew, this gambler, all his money was a compulsive gambler. And
so was there much gambling going on in Fremantle? Were there bookies, that
yes,
sort of thing?
Yes, so there was people used to play cards, I know, but my husband wasn't a gambler, so I wasn't very well, but neither was my father a gambler. So, I mean, I knew of people who
yes.
say that people gamble, but
yes.
I wasn't, my family wasn't
no.
involved.
Well,
in
it seems to go two ways. As I say, my grandfather apparently gambled, but because he did, my grandmother was strongly against it.
Of course you would
and,
be.
And I was brought up to
I'd
think
hear
the same
father
way.
I talk about him because he's working in the club.
Yes.
But he never gambled.
Now, you mentioned... Your husband was interned during the war.
That's right.
And for how long was he interned?
For about 4 years, but he was interned before I got married.
Before you got married.
So I wouldn't...
You didn't know him during that period? Well, you did know him, but...
I did know him,
you weren't
yeah.
married, so...
I wasn't married.
You were more vaguely aware, or you didn't appreciate that he was being interned?
Well, we'd go and visit him occasionally, just as a friend, because a lot of people go down to Harvey and visit him just... social things because they
yes.
take them things because they were interned.
Yes.
And my cousin was interned at the same time.
Right.
So take some food or whatever they
yes.
think what they needed. But I didn't have much to do with the internees because that was just before I got married and I knew him but didn't know I was going to marry him.
Did people talk about the internment after the war? Were people resentful of what happened?
Yes, they were quite resentful, but John's husband said, well, it was during the war, it's wartime, and that's how things are, and he wasn't very resentful of it. It wasn't very nice for him.
No.
I remember they interviewed him a couple of times. He said, yes, I was starting off in business, and it was 4 years of my life that I lost.
Yes.
I made a position for myself. Did resent it, but he always used to say, that's war, and that's how things go during the war.
Yes. I mean, people were obviously interned as well during the First World War. That's before your time, but that happened, and I think Italians, amongst others, were interned.
Pardon?
Italians were interned here during the First World War as well. I think even people were sent to Rottnest to be interned at one stage. Germans were interned in South Australia.
The same thing my father always used to say, he just missed the war. He'd turned age that he would be, would have been called up. It was in Australia, so he missed out on that as well. My father's very Australianised.
Yes, yes. But he wasn't interned.
No, he wasn't. No.
So it was what...
He missed out. You always used to say that he missed out. I think he was in the Merchant Navy because I've got photographs of him.
Right.
Or in the Italian Navy, I'm not sure.
Now, tell me again about... you're talking about going down from Suffolk Street across the railway line, the rocks, and there was the water there.
It was a long time before they had to reclaim the land, and I can't remember the year, and the jetty wasn't like it is now.
No.
There was all water. It was just a small jetty going out, and the boats were tied onto that small jetty.
Yes.
At times we'd go for a walk down the jetty.
Yes.
I'd be quite frightened because the water was quite high. Now it isn't. Yes. All the beaches, especially after the America's War, they put all the rocks down and
changed that around.
Yes, changed altogether.
Yes, yeah.
A massive work down there after, during the America's Cup.
Now, you mentioned you started to learn to dance when you were
a child,
so did you keep dancing all your way through?
As I said, the only way I learned to dance or learnt music was because this lady over the road took pity on me, I think. And I think everybody knows Vera Stewart. She used to hold, she had a dancing class, and she'd have, at the end of the year, she'd have a concert, and it was a great big thing. She was quite known, Vera Stewart. I think if you speak to a lot of Fremantle people, would know of her.
Yes.
She was a dancing teacher.
Yes.
And that's how I got to learn to play the piano or get out.
Now, there's various churches in Fremantle. There's the Catholic,
the St Patrick's,
St Patrick's that we've talked about. I think they call it a pro cathedral, don't they? And you've got St John's, the Anglican Church. Was the synagogue down on Parry and Norfolk
opposite Oddfellows?
Yes, was that was did that operate?
I don't remember
days?
It being. Practicing there.
You don't remember that operating?
No.
Yeah.
But I remember they saying there was a synagogue, but I don't remember this. I was.
Right.
Yeah. The time I'd be aware of anything would be about 12 or 13, and I don't think it was a synagogue then.
Right.
It was a practicing synagogue.
Yes. It obviously had been built about 1900 or so, but it's
still. The Odd Fellows were there because my father would just have a drink before the evening going there, or my husband used to.
Well, Mrs. Fiocco, thank you very much for talking to me.